recording. Now that we did our battle strategy, now we can be good to go. Screw it. Hello, every. Oh, that's the outro. No, not goodbye. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the daily cup of genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse podcast network, available wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Kyle. That's Manny. Social media information in the screen in front of you, description box down below, as well as check out our website, LRM Online, lrmonline.com, every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions. I was thinking that it was light on news, and we're going to talk about some potential leaks, spoilers from a fairly reliable source, and regardless of whether or not they're right, it's interesting enough to talk about, but it is all going to be rumors, but potentially true rumors, because they've got a decent hit rate. But anyways, to start with some actual news, James Gunn out there slapping down rumors and things like that, and this time about Green Lantern. And I know a lot of people have been looking for a Green Lantern series or film or something to undo the horrors that was the Ryan Reynolds film. Mm-hmm. And it's been through many incarnations. We were going to get a movie, and then we were going to get a series, and then we were going to get a different series. And now we still don't know what we're going to get, but apparently the rumor that the Green Lantern series had been axed was responded to by James Gunn as simply fake. And that's it. That's the news. But what my question is to you, Manny, with that, do you want it to be a series, or do you want it to be a movie?
I don't know. It just depends which characters they're going to focus on. If you're going to focus on, like, Hal or John Stewart,
mm-hmm.
it's probably a movie. If you're going to start talking about, like, Guy Gardner, Kyle Rayner, Jessica Cruz, the Squirrel, and some of the other ones, then I think you go the series route, just because you have this just, like, array of characters that you can use that with different colors of also all the lanterns. And it would just be really, really difficult to put them all into a movie. They did a pretty good job. I thought that the movie that they made had so much potential, but mm-hmm. it was just not done very well.
It was messy. It was messy, and it wasn't the best written thing either.
No. But they had the casting done very well.
I think the cast was relatively fine.
It was just kind of annoying, because Sinestro is fine, and I keep wanting to call him Korg. His name is not Korg. I don't recall.
One of the ones at the on the lantern.
Yeah, the one that trained everyone.
Yeah,
I can't remember his name, and he's actually pretty freaking prominent. And anyway, so it's kind of annoying, because it was pretty. Oh, Kilowog, thank you, Jesus. No. I don't know. It has the potential to be both. There's just so many characters. I mean, even Green Lantern has worked in many different ways, whether it's in Justice League Unlimited, or whether it's in even in its own films that they've had. They have really good stories, and even the series, which was just like a 3D series. Which I initially totally blew off, because, like, I just hate it. I just do not like that style of animation in cartoons. I feel like it's lazy. Mm-hmm. It was actually pretty good. Like, it was very good, and it focused a lot on Red Lanterns and everything. Not just Green Lanterns. So there's just, like, a lot of potential there for lots of storytelling, but we know that you're not going to get most of that, just because of the fact that you have to focus on core characters. So it just depends on what you want. It just depends on the story you want to tell, who you want to focus on.
I have no vested interest in it. Like, I'm happy to be entertained, as I've said before. I think a series where you can explore the whole, like, mythos, for lack of a better word, behind the world of the Lanterns might be beneficial. But before you go into, like, a, you know, Jim, or not Jim, but a freaking John Stewart or Hal Jordan movie. But I don't know how making that is super bright. I don't know how making a series, you know, necessary before a movie, especially in a new line of a franchise, the Green Lantern. I don't know how smart of an idea that is, but I do know that the character and the Lanterns, all, what, five? This is what, Sapphire, yellow, green, orange, is it?
White.
I feel like I'm
indigo.
Indigo, yeah. So there's a lot there, and I don't know how much they wanna cover, but it could be a little too much for a movie unless you really just focus it on the Green Lantern.
Yeah, that's what you should do. You should, you know. Yeah, if anything, just focus on the Green Lantern and one of the other colors, whether it's fear or anger, and then just come back to it.
Red.
Red's anger. And don't necessarily, like, you don't have to introduce all the colors. Maybe you could
even not in a movie, definitely.
No. You could just gloss over it, kinda like they do, mm-hmm. like Doctor Strange or things like that, where you're explaining a very big concept, but it's just like or like they did with the Titans and things like that. It's like, yeah, all these other people exist. And Red One's one of them, and at least you acknowledge that they exist, but you, just like in the comic books, like they don't focus on all of the colors at once, unless they're trying to do some crazy thing with Kyle Rayner all the time. It's possible. I do think a movie comes first. Set up the big boys, and then
You could do it the opposite. The big introduction to the grander lore would have to be in a series, I think, instead of a
because I think the proper way to do it would be either introduce, it just depends on where they are in the timeline. Like, do the Lantern, like, does Hal Jordan already exist, or is this something that we're starting from scratch? If you're starting from scratch, you obviously have to start with Hal, and then kind of even like the one of the most recent films, the animated films that they did, later on go to Hal Jordan, John Stewart, and you're gonna have to kind of play with that idea of Hal Jordan turning into Parallax and kind of being evil for a bit, and how he gets over that and things like that. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Regardless, James Gunn says the news that it's been cut is fake. Take that for what you guys will. He's been very, very vague. He's been very I would say he's been very purposeful with his words, because, you know, the whole thing about it being canceled, but Gunn still wants to work on it, and him just saying fake, it's like, okay, well, which part of it is fake? You know, there's you and I have pointed out to other times where he's, you know, like, what, who said everyone except the Suicide Squad is being recast? And it's like, well, I mean, I guess if they don't reboot Blue Beetle when it hits, you know, next year, that would technically be not everyone from before being recast, or even potentially, say, keeping Sasha Kaye's Supergirl role, but putting her in something, you know, different. Could be not recasting everyone, but it wouldn't necessarily mean. And then even the one where he's like, who, I don't know where you're getting, or I don't know about this rumor that keeps saying we booted Gal. What if it wasn't so much that they booted her, but she said, I don't want to be a part of it herself. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. the language he uses is very purposeful. So I don't, we'll see. Whatever it is, I hope it's good. I mean, there's so many DC flagship characters that just have not gotten their time to shine yet. Hilarious, considering what we're going to talk about next, the My Time to Shine line. But they haven't gotten their time in the spotlight, their movie, you know, their franchise. There was a chance it looked like Cyborg was going to get a project before Lantern did, you know. It's a weird world, but we'll have to see what happens with it.
Well, like,
I
do want to commend him for coming out there and continuously shutting down rumors, just because of the fact that I think that I think what it's doing is it's at least adding some responsibility to sites to be a little bit more thoughtful and meaningful about the rumors that they post.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure now, I got this rumor that this is happening, instead of just posting it. I think they're thinking it twice now, because since it started,
we're smart.
The stories have significantly dropped. The number of stories on, I heard that this and this and this have significantly dropped because of the fact that Gunn is taking it upon himself, and actually some of the other actors. The Rock came out to kind of defend his position. Zach Levi also did, and it's just fun to watch. Finally, some level of pushback from the actual sources, and saying like, you guys need to stop posting this fake information, because in a way it actually harms, it really harms them, because. For example, you know, while we don't know, it still may happen. It's like, we're not Gal's out as Wonder Woman. It's extra gas to the fire, because people are still upset over Henry Cavill. Feel it how you will.
Yeah.
And then people are mad about certain things, and it's like, well, they're mad about them, but especially if they're not true. It's like, well, it's like they're starting these dumpster fires for no reason other than clicks, and that is part of the business. But thank God for Warner Brothers Animation and being able to give us a lot of these characters for the last few years, and letting us enjoy things like Batman Ninja, which was a really cool thing that they did based on kind of the same people who did like Afro Samurai, and then you have the. They did the Batman versus the Ninja Turtles, which is just fun all around. Yeah,
I like the comic. The comic was really good. I did not watch the whole movie. Saw part of it, primarily because I just didn't dig the animation style. But I need to give it a try, because the books were pretty cool.
It's old, so I don't care about
spoilers. Mm-hmm. But the whole idea of like mutant DC villains and stuff, it was fun.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't anything groundbreaking. I mean, I also have the Ninja Turtles Ghostbusters crossover, which was a lot of fun, and the Turtles Power Rangers crossover, the first one. There's a second one either coming or already hit. But
the thing about the Turtles is that they cross over very well with anything.
Yes,
and even the toy lines. If you remember, they had like Ninja Turtles everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
it's always
I had Ninja Turtles everything.
So yeah, it's always been fun.
I even went out and got the Ninja Turtle skin. So my turtles tattoo, for those on the podcast side, I got the it's always hard to kind of twist my arm for it to be seen well, but it's kind of like if the turtles, you know, passed in a final battle, like the little memorial left, it's got Donnie's staff in the ground with the bandanas, the eye masks across on it, and then the other weapons kind of laid around some stones. So yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So I got it around the time the Michael Bay produced Turtles movies hit, and it was basically dead. it was dead to me.
No, yeah.
And then when the Ghostbusters 2016 hit, I got my memorial for the Ghostbusters. And for those
that wasn't a good movie.
No, and for those that can't see, follow me on Twitter at that Kyle Malone. Somewhere on there's a picture of that tattoo. Yeah, man, it's they're cool. Ready to carry on?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not gonna share my screen on this one for you guys because I don't want anyone to accidentally read some other potential spoilers on this Twitter page, besides the ones that I'm going to cover and warn you guys about. These are again connected to Thunderbolts, X-Men, excuse me, and in a way Captain America, New World Order. So if you don't want to hear potential spoilers for that, look down below in the chapters. It'll be marked where you guys can jump back in. So we're going to be talking about three people mostly today. We're going to be talking about Daniel RPK, who most of you know has a pretty decent hit rate. No one's 100% by any means necessary, of course. So take this with a grain of salt. My Time to Shine, hello. Of course, again, similar. And one that I'm not familiar with, Can We Get Some Toast? These are the three that have been kind of discussing a lot of these rumors around these films. So one of the big things everyone's been looking for, of course, where are the X-Men? Where are they at? Where's mutants? We finally got official mutants in the MCU via Ms. Marvel. And
really? Nice.
And of course, Black Panther, Wakanda forever. But it seems now we're going to actually connect to something that everyone's been scratching their head about, the giant freaking celestial that's coming out of Earth, and no one's had anything to do with it for a couple years. Apparently, Tiamat Island maybe one day being called Genosha. According to Daniel RPK, it'll be Genosha in Thunderbolts, and according to Can We Get Toast, it'll be Tiamat Island, the name of the celestial in Captain America 4. So you're gonna get that island, and allegedly it's gonna be sought after in Cap because of adamantium, which no one owns a giant celestial being ripped out of planet Earth, and everyone wants their piece of it. So that brings up a couple of things, if true. One, it does kind of cement this idea that most of our mutants, it looks like, will be new, contemporary. They're not going to be from a different timeline or a different universe yet. I still think the 2015-2016 Secret Wars comic run where they combined universes is going to kind of happen in the film version, not just the 80s comic. So they're going to be contemporary. That brings up a really big thing for me, and that's the history between. Well, first let me ask you before we get into the whole X-Men implications of the setting. What do you think of that, of actually using the freaking celestial, doing something with it?
I don't know. Like, I thought Eternals was stupid, and I don't really like Anthony Mackie as Captain America. So,
I like him.
There's all of that. His real name's Clarence. Like, what do you? I don't understand.
Bee Rabbit.
Yeah. No,
it was actually a good movie, 8 Mile.
Oh hell yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that. I don't know. I'm kind of in a state right now when it comes to Marvel and what they're doing is like, all right, at this point, Loud, it's like, I'm not excited about your films. Like, I'm gonna go watch them, just impress me, and then I'll react accordingly. But yeah, for me to be
bring
like
me back
like,
in.
Yeah, for me to be like giddy right now and be like, oh my god, that's a great idea, blah blah blah, I was like, no, I really don't care.
Well, do you think it is from a from just a storytelling standpoint? Like,
it's nice that
is
they
this
do
the way finally, to do X-Men.
No, absolutely not. Ms. Marvel was just an Inhuman a couple of years ago.
I know, right?
And it's just weird because I don't know. Like, don't tell me that they're new, because that just it just ruins a whole, like, no. You and I have talked about the problems of New Mutants, and because of some of the effects it would have on some of the older mutants, specifically Magneto and Professor X.
Yep.
Kind of the cornerstones of mutants, let alone like, yeah, Mystique, and a couple of other ones that there's got to be some history there. Juggernaut also. I'm not thrilled so far with the way they've handled the mutants, just because they keep like dangling the carrot, mm-hmm, and people are thirsty enough where that's enough to get them excited. Like even the She-Hulk mention, people were freaking out, and it's like that was
she said the actual word.
She said the word X-Men, and you guys acted like, you know, Magneto came on screen or something. Yeah. And then they did have Professor X as a cameo, but that entire, mm-hmm, scene was cameos for like a lot of different things.
Every Reddit fan casting that made it,
yeah,
into the
which was cool because
not really.
No, it was cool because they're not gonna like John Krasinski's not gonna play,
yeah,
Mr. Fantastic. So to be like, okay, like let's do it for a couple minutes just to you know get that out of the way, I thought it was really nice. And then more than likely, you know, we're gonna get a different Professor X, and that's okay. But yeah, but here's homage to what's happened, to what we've done.
Hey, James McAvoy did a fine job as his version of shitty, yeah, Professor X.
Yeah, it was something.
Shitty Fox Professor X.
Yeah. It was something. I was, yeah. Do not ever bring back Apocalypse. That or yeah, Ivan. That was
poor Oscar Isaac.
I'm sorry.
He got off on a better foot eventually. Sort of.
Don't ever bring back Ivan Ooze, because that's not the movie we wanted.
You mentioned how you and I've talked about the importance of Magneto's history, and if you're going to change it, you have to find something of equal. And this is not me saying that any trauma is not traumatic, but there's various levels of awful, and that doesn't mean that something is fine because it's less awful. It's contextual, if you will. You know, it's kind of like the difference between dying peacefully in your sleep or painfully by burning to death. Both are sad, both are awful, you're dead, yeah, right? But if you had to choose a trauma to go through that type of context, and the more modern you are and the younger you want your Magneto and X, the less likely it is that they will have suffered a trauma, experienced a trauma on the level of World War II and or the Holocaust. I mean, especially as a Jewish man, which, you know, Magneto's primary history is exactly that, a Jewish man that goes on the run, eventually does get captured, does spend time in a camp. Sometimes he's a kid, sometimes he's an adult with a family. But regardless, you've got that history, and now you have to find an analog, you know, if you want him to be 40 years old, right? 40 is a good age for a Magneto. Why not? Well, how long ago is that? That's, you know, 40 years from 2025. You know, you're looking at my birth year, if the, you know, following the MCU timeline. So you're now, you know, my age. In most parts of the world outside of Africa and the Middle East and in the 90s, some Central and Eastern European places, what in the last 40 years has compared to World War II and or the Holocaust during that time? And if you don't have that, or if you pick something, especially if you go with someone that's Western European, especially if you go with an American, it gets really kind of like iffy when you say, hey, 1990s race things in LA, that's our catalyst for this version of Magneto. It's like, yeah, all of that traumatic, I got it, but does that carry over, it feels really iffy, you know what I'm saying, Manny?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
yeah, and the thing is, like, and don't give me that crap that the blip or that, you know, that was traumatic enough and whatever.
Now that's the one thing I could almost relatively deal with better is an in-world catastrophe causing it, but I just don't know what they tell, because their world really overall is not all that bad. You know, it shares similar history to us. So where in the last 40 years of MCU?
Just tell me that their world was overrun by Sentinels and they escaped.
Yeah,
be happy. Just like, yes. Dude, just do something stupid like that. Like, would it be a cheap way out? Yes, but at least I'd be like, okay. And hell, let one of them get through. I don't know, one of the Sentinels.
And some guy, our Trask, finds the Sentinel arm. You pull a Terminator thing, yeah, right?
Yeah. Since we like referencing other things.
Exactly. what I do think they missed out on was using Wanda and in WandaVision and even Multiverse of Mayhem. They could have easily done this of getting her to a universe where the X-Men are from, not the Avengers. You have mutants, not enhanced, right? You have mutants, not magicians from space. And she becomes that bridge, that gap. And as you could have easily done two or three films of X-Men that led up to a Messiah complex. Did you read that? That was like the last great where it's like after the decimation, after Wanda offs all the all the mutants, and there's been none born for a while. One is born named eventually Hope Summers. Cable took it was a good story.
I just basically don't think do something Studios is ready with for the X-Men. Like, I don't
know.
No,
they're not, because they want it rushed, but for some reason they
I mean, I don't think they want it rushed. They could have rushed it.
Disney wants it rushed. Oh, Disney. Sorry. Okay. Disney wants it rushed. I think if Feige had his way, I think it's taken as long as it has because Feige has probably been trying to push back and wait on something, but also there's that rumor that it all deals with like contracts for both in front camera talent and behind the camera talent from the Fox days.
Yeah,
that's true, yeah. I could see them, you know, wanting to wait out some of those actors, even though they seem dead set on bringing some back.
They already have. They've already brought back a few. So,
yeah,
and they're bringing back another one.
Yep.
So I just don't think. You know, we keep talking, they could have done this, they could have this. It's like, yeah, but like then they're kind of they're empty promises, because those you know, they probably don't even have actors lined up for what Feige is envisioning for X-Men, and all they have are the 20th Century Fox leftovers, and just to appease the fans, they've been inserting them here and here, and then saying the word mutant. And then people do the Leo thing, and they stay satisfied for another 10 minutes. And then when they realize, like, hey, that wasn't anything, they do it again. And it leaves us where we are here, still waiting on X-Men. And I'm pretty sure we have to wait for... I don't even know if they show up in Secret Wars, and that... It's terrifying.
They have to.
They kind of do, yeah.
Like I said, I I'll tell you what.
But like at that point when they show up in Secret Wars, like I'm not invested, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, and like more than likely it's not going to be 20th Century Fox X-Men, and if it is, dear God.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. You know, I've mentioned that idea that they're gonna kind of amalgamate the original Secret Wars with the 1516. I think you're gonna see some of those older X-Men come over from the other universes, so to speak. I think that's what it's going to end up being. I could even see them bringing back, you know, some of the cats from First Cat Class eras to some of the cats from the original. We know what's his name, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine is coming to play, you know, in the MCU with Deadpool 3. And yeah. If you remember, after the 2015-16 Secret Wars books, it was an old man Logan, because what's her name, X-23, was Wolverine in the comics, and they had old man Logan running around the new, you know, 616, if you will. I can see that very much being the case, and then having a bunch of new, fresh, younger ones, and almost playing it like the 90s cartoon, which on the surface isn't necessarily a bad idea, but the execution would be interesting, and where the focus was always on the it wasn't so much on Charles and Magneto as the films have been. It was focused on their respective teams, and they were, you know, behind, you know. So maybe that's what we'll end up with. Maybe they'll use Fassbender and McAvoy from that universe timeline, and then we'll get a bunch of new, fresh Morph and Jean and Cyclops and whatnot. I don't know. All I know is just saying now we've got mutants. It just feels no.
It's not even close to what it should be. I'm not even mad at Marvel Studios, because they acquired them at a really weird position, a weird time where they're getting close to the end of one of their biggest their storyline, with, you know, the Infinity Saga.
Yeah.
And they already had in place what they're gonna do next, where the story was gonna go, and unknowing to at the time that they were going to have mutants. They're gonna have which actually is another question, is were you always gonna do Secret Wars without mutants?
Fox, yeah.
Yeah, without Fox. And if
would have
so,
been tough without Magneto. That whole run of him being selected for the heroes, you know, really threw him for a loop. It threw everyone for a loop, and you know, I think it's an important Doom and Magneto for me are key. Even in the recent Secret Wars 2015-16, that one. Doom was very, very important.
Yeah, of course.
So was Molecule. That was weird.
I think that sometimes, though, they have like really OP Doom. Like,
oh, yeah.
To like, to very, very almost like comical levels. Like, it's like he can't be that powerful. Like, seriously. But I don't know. Like I said, especially with Marvel movies, I need to sit back and just watch
wait and
them
see.
Because
yeah.
Because they've done such a terrible job with Phase 4 that I'm not really impressed or excited about anything at this point, other than just to enjoy the films. And if they're enjoyable, because if I get another Eternals, I don't know, man. No, another Thor Love and Thunder. That's not going to be good.
I know.
I just hope that Quantumania is not a mess.
Same here, because I really enjoy the Ant-Man movies.
Yeah, I love the Ant-Man movies.
Overall. The only other last kind of thing that I wanted to mention out of these tweets from, again, My Time to Shine. Hello, can we get some toast? And Daniel RPK on Twitter is another one connected to Cap 4, and that's Jessica Chastain being eyed to play a villain. My thoughts on that were she played the villain in the X-Men film, the last one, not Apocalypse, Dark Phoenix, right? She played their version of Skrull. They didn't use Skrulls, but they were Skrulls. And we know we have Skrulls in the MCU now. do you see the dots I'm connecting? And that's why I mentioned earlier about, you know, Secret Wars may be this kind of combination, this amalgamation film of two different arcs called Secret Wars. And that most recent one in 15, there was the incursion where the universes were so close together that things were, you know, popping through, and we've had multiple movies mess with the fabric of the multiverse and no real effects yet. But this could be one. Now, it wouldn't be the first time they just cast someone in a different role, but that's very on the nose, because we know Sam Jackson's heavily connected with the Secret Invasion, heavily connected with the Captain America films. You could see Skrulls and all that. I can connect some dots. So, yeah.
Meh.
That's all I got. That's all I got, man. You got anything else?
Nope. Not today. Cool. Don't think so.
Sweet, guys, check out lrmonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, opinions, written reviews, celebrity interviews, and more. We've got our podcasts here on the YouTube channel, so hit that red subscribe button if you haven't already. Daily Cog, Breaking Geek Radio, The Cantina, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, and of course AVR Squared. If they're not reaction videos, they're available audio format on most of your podcast apps out there, including Amazon, Google, Spotify, and more. Yeah, if that's it, we'll see you guys next time. Bye.